Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, August 1st, 2007, the only first day of August 2007 in the history of humanity. Let us choose to continue to make it a great one. We're coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, as well as Houston, Texas, as we want to welcome online, as is our wont every Wednesday night, the one and only Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Good evening.
How are you?
I am doing very well here in Houston, Texas. I am happy to report it did not rain today.
Do you know that Houston, Texas overtook Chicago as the third most populous city in the country?
No, I didn't.
Yes. Houston is bigger than Chicago.
We won. Yay.
Of course, Chicago used to be known as the second city, and then, of course, second to New York. Then L.A. took that one, and then Houston became the third most popular. So yours is bigger than mine there, buddy.
Absolutely.
Yes, I hear you, and we're happy to have everybody. This is a special webcast. I'm on the road. Michael's at home in Houston, and we're using our two lines. And for those that read the post that came out yesterday, I believe, we are getting a third line. So when I'm on the road, and Michael is wherever he's at, which is on the road sometimes, obviously, and in Houston often, then we can still have live webcasts. But for tonight, we just have the two lines. You know, Mikey, we started out just with one line. Remember that?
I remember. Yes, we are now concerned about a third, and then a fourth, and geez.
Patrick L. Jones is in studio in Tampa, who will be engineering, but not taking your calls. We'll do calls next week, hopefully, but just stay tuned. But the point is we want to take your questions tonight because all questions and comments will be coming via the email address. And that email address, as always, is webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Please keep them brief. And include where you are writing from, because we get very excited as we see letters and comments coming in from people from all over the world. And it's just nice to know, Mike, that it's a growing number. The assembled numbers are assembling.
They are, and they are good people, and lots of good questions. And people just want to get together, so that's what we're doing this for.
And we have to reiterate that we are going to be having a gathering relatively soon in Houston. And, you know, if you can make it, great. We're going to do a big weekend thing, give you folks a good heads up so that you can make your plans. But if you can make this one that we have at Mike's new congregation there in Houston, Texas, the Freedom Worship Center, that would be awesome. But stay tuned for that. In the meantime, Mikey, you're off to Indiana. Is this weekend, isn't it?
Tomorrow, in fact.
Wow. Why don't you inform the beautiful humans a little bit about what's going to be happening there?
Well, we have several meetings set up, and the information, of course, is all online. It is being conducted at we do have a church that is sponsoring. Actually, several different groups, and I was speaking with Cliff Hazel Baker just the other day, one of our sponsors up there, and Cliff was telling me that we've had phone calls from about four different states of people, surrounding states, people who were coming in. So it looks like a good affair going to be going on. We're going to be talking about some good gospel. So yes, I fly out tomorrow, and the meeting will span the weekend, and so I'm looking very much forward to it.
Well, for more information, folks, all you got to do is to go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage. That's, as always, gospelrevolution, one word, .com, and just page down and look on the information about Mike's upcoming events. We've also got meetings coming up in places like Canada, Lord willing, and if the creek don't run, and Wisconsin is coming up, so stay posted, as always, as we go down the road known as the Gospel Revolution. We're taking your emails tonight at webcast@gospelrevolution.com for your questions and comments for Michael and yours truly, Glenn Klein, online. We're going to be getting to those momentarily. We've got some good ones already. Why don't you get your question now at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And so tonight, Mike, you know, we always start the show. This is the only whatever day it happens to be ever. And
yes.
Once again, it was dramatically demonstrated in this horrible tragedy that's happened in the Twin Cities. And I just got in from Wisconsin, so I didn't even realize it. But this major bridge collapse in Minneapolis, and we of course, we have a lot of people that listen to this webcast in Minneapolis and people we know. But it just, once again, it goes to show you just never know.
Boy, that is for sure. It's, you know, the wonderful thing about the gospel is that it, dealing with tragedy, is set aside to itself with one thing that we definitely have to comfort our hearts is that no one has to be the slightest bit concerned about as far as in any eternal negative situation for anybody that was killed in that tragedy. And we also, you know, just wish the best for those who've been injured. And you know, just so much, you know, a tragedy like that just leaves you questioning. I was just thinking, I'm sure you've been across that I-35 West bridge yourself many times.
Oh, 100 times I've been on that bridge.
Oh, yeah. And myself, I was just up there just within the year, I believe. And in fact, when they flashed the map up on the TV, you know, where the bridge goes, it's the route that I take to get to my friend's place there, and actually you could see the very block of property they live on just north of the bridge there. So, yeah, so I still have to make contacts with my friends and make sure that they're cool. But it's a large city, so we're...
Chances are, what I always
chances are they are safe. So
they're fine.
I'm not getting upset unless I find a reason for one later, so we're not looking for one.
That's always a good perspective. Let's not get upset unless we have a reason for one.
That's right.
One thing you said earlier, Michael, was that no matter who lost their life in this accident, the good news is that regardless of what a person believes, what church or synagogue or mosque or nothing that they go to, we know there is no bad ending for anybody.
Absolutely,
and,
or where they were going or where they had been during
right.
their crossing
yes, exactly. And I remember hearing, I think it was, it might have been Golgotha's Secret, or it was one of the recent feature tapes or CDs, and you said, if there is any bad news in the message, it's not the gospel. Because
gospel
literally means good news, and the gospel is always good news, 100%. You can take your money to the bank on that.
Absolutely, good news, and it's you know, it's just it's an amazing thing that we have this incredible treasure to be able to share with people. I feel very, very fortunate to have you know, however anybody wants to define it, stumbled upon such wonderful truth, or searched through, or had it bestowed upon me. I really don't have a clue, but the fact of it is that I feel very privileged and very, very, very grateful, and I know that every human being deserves the right to have the privilege to believe such a wonderful gospel. And that really is our goal, Glenn, is to give everyone the option to believe such a gospel, and with also the incredible, wonderful reality that even if they reject it and God and Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and Mama and Daddy,
you got to accept the Pope.
And even Ratzinger, they can reject Ratzinger, and they are secure when this life.
That guy's
over.
Name is Ratzinger. It just occurred to me. I mean, I knew what his name was,
yes,
but the
Ratzinger.
Pope's name is Ratzinger.
Ratzinger. Yeah, I don't call him Pope or Father or I think Ratzinger is a good one.
That's a good name for the guy.
And it's respectful. I'm using his last name.
It's his name. Exactly right. Webcast at gospelrevolution.com is the address to write your letters and your comments tonight. We've got a bunch already, but we got time for you at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. So, Michael, I saw this story the other night about churches that are now installing ATMs in their churches. So that, of course, when the Holy Spirit moves on them, they can be moved to go to the ATM and get cash out where, you know, you can't put your credit card in the offering plate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How come you guys never thought of that back in the day?
Well, we didn't have ATMs back in the day.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. No, we're going back a little bit, too many years now, Glenn. So. And if we had, I'm sure that the thought of them being anyplace else other than a bank was the only place they were.
Yeah, well, they're in churches now, and people think that they're getting blessed by God when they go in and enter their PIN number.
How about it? My goodness. Yes, so well. Easy access.
One thing that people, I think, sometimes forget in our effort is that regardless of what message you're trying to propagate, that it costs money. And people are very squeamish about money.
Yes.
And you know, we don't really apologize at all for asking for people's money because just like you just said, Michael, this message, every human being deserves an opportunity to at least hear it. Because if they hear it and they know that they're good with God, or they at least they think that people like us who do believe in God and do believe in Jesus, that they're good to go with God too, it's got to have a beneficial effect. But it costs money in order to do it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the gospel itself is free, but sharing it is not.
So as always, you beautiful humans, we encourage you to go to the gospelrevolution.com website many times a day and make donations. And all the information is on there.
Almost
and,
as easy
as an ATM. We very, very much appreciate. Pardon me?
Almost as easy as an ATM in your own home.
15 minutes could save an entire person's life.
There you go.
That's my paraphrase of the Geico commercial.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, you ready to get some questions via the email?
Let's do it.
Let's do it to it, Pruitt. Michael, this one comes in from Stacy, who was formerly from Winchester, Virginia. I was wondering why we hadn't heard from Stacy. She now lives in Valencia, California.
Ah.
That's nice out there.
Well, good move, Stacy.
She says, "Hi, Mike. Now that you've been part of the Houston Freedom Church for a while, can you please describe to me how it is different from regular denominational or charismatic churches?"
Well, you know, the interesting thing, I think the focus of it would be, that I would have to guide you to, would be the pastor of the church. And John's philosophy in pastoring is that he is there to protect the people's freedom. And to protect their freedom in Christ. There is no moral equation to the validity of the gospel that is preached. Now, I know that is just a statement, but I could never, ever, ever in 100 years tell you how vitally important that is, and of course, if that were not the case, I just certainly would not find myself capable of being a part of it. But there is no moral equation to the validity of a person's spiritual worth, and you know, morality is a big issue, and it's an important issue. It's important in your personal life, your family life. Whatever social status you fit in or structure you fit in, morality, even though it varies from place to place as to what that is, morality is a very important issue, but it is not a spiritual issue, and here it is not equated as to be a spiritual issue. it's amazing. I mean, you get to be around people who have the freedom to be who they are, and without judgment, and without guilt, and without implying that you know, things are going good because you know, somebody did it right, or you know, you did something right. A lot of times, that things are going good, but it's most likely not. We certainly do not apply that it's because you've kept some of God's laws or something. So, and it's when things go wrong, it's not because, you know, you let the devil in or whatever. So I think the big difference is that we have the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace.
That, you know, do I have your permission to tell the story about what happened when you first got to the church with the worship leader?
Yes, yes, you sure did.
When Michael first got there, the worship leader, well, just tell the story, Michael, but the thing I'm interested in was the people's response to the worship leader choosing to leave after you came. And
yeah.
I thought that that really demonstrated the efficacy of the gospel at work and what it does to the soul and the heart and just your whole attitude and your perspective.
Yes, well, when I was invited into the church and to become a part of the staff, the gentleman who led worship and praise, you know, went to John, the pastor, and told him that he just could not continue knowing that there was a homosexual that was going to be on staff and that was going to be teaching. That was interesting. At first it kind of shook me a little bit, and I thought, well, if he thinks that way, you know, is my coming into this church, is this not exactly what I thought? You know, do the people understand? You know, what do they understand? Why would somebody, you know, that was in this church find that a difficult thing? I realized that they were that this gentleman who was leading worship was not only leading worship on Saturday night for Freedom Worship Center, but he was also leading worship on Sunday for another church. And I guess his father was also an evangelist, from what I understood, and was also, you know, going out and about. So he was very comfortable in other churches and leading worship and praise. And I, you know, to what degree he had embraced the gospel, I don't know. But it certainly was a test, if you will, for the rest of the congregation once he, you know, told them, you know, that he was no longer going to attend. It was interesting because, you know, John let him know that, you know, that he loved him and he regretted his decision, and then there was a conversation a little bit a couple of days later, and some questions about remaining in contact with a couple of the couples in church because they were close. And you know, John, you know, I think the guy had been very used to other churches and bad church situations going, you know, kind of going bad. And so he was expecting that he was going to be forbidden to talk to anybody and all this. And John told him, says, by all means, you know, you call anybody you want. You can, in fact, if you lost anybody's number, be sure and call me and I will give you the number myself. And
oh, you got to love that John Adair guy. I'll tell you.
Yeah, really.
Not only is that classic, it's classy.
Oh, it is classy, yes. And so he, you know, he wanted to make sure that he facilitated his ability to stay in contact, and you know, sure enough, there was you know, some comments made that kind of sounded like maybe possibly trying to recruit others to, you know, take on his view.
Right.
And it was met with, you know, kindness, and they let him know they loved him, but, you know, that they were you know, didn't have the problem that he had, but anytime that he wanted to come back or visit or go to lunch or dinner, to be sure and call. So and then I think that there's been contact since then.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Glenn Klein online. We're talking with Michael Williams, of course, of the Gospel Revolution. You can have your comments and questions answered this evening. We take all comers, and Michael has no idea what I'm going to ask, ever.
No, I don't.
Webcast at gospelrevolution.com. That's the email address. Get your emails in now. Try to keep them brief, please, and include the area in which you are writing and listening from. Webcast at gospelrevolution.com. Isn't it true that he was a worship leader at other churches as well, and even had a lesbian woman that he led worship with, and he was good with that, though, right?
Yeah, that's true. There was no problem with that.
Why do you think, just out of curiosity, why do you think a guy who, you know, obviously he's been exposed to the gospel because John was sharing the gospel there before you got there, and a guy who is willing to work with a lesbian lady, why do you think he would have a problem working with a gay man?
You'd have to ask him that. I wouldn't have the slightest
idea. Well, just separate it out. Let's forget this whole particular situation. Why are people sometimes accepting of homosexuality between women but not between men? Especially men, of course.
That would be for somebody else. I really don't know. I know that, number one, for a man, I certainly don't feel threatened by it. You know, with a woman's sexuality being one way or the other. But sometimes men are threatened by the fact that another male in the homosexual and
potentially interested in them sexually.
Huh?
I said potentially interested in that person sexually.
Yes, I suppose so. I mean, I would.
Right. I mean, that's just the see. Women deal with that with straight men all the time.
Yeah.
But for some reason, for guys, we can't deal with that so much. I maintain, I have no statistics on this, but I think that the overreaction to any so-called sin is sometimes because people are dealing with their own inclinations or their own fantasies, or their own tendencies in their heart. So by recoiling against it, it doesn't make a difference if it's being gay or drinking or whatever. It doesn't make a difference what it is. Sex?
No, it really
does. When they recoil against it, they're really trying to recoil it out of their own lives.
Well, yeah, and if you take it out of the situation with this particular situation here.
Right, I'm just talking general terms.
But, yeah, just in general, yeah, the old saying Confucius say, I think, is he professes too much.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy, it's not just a coincidence that Jimmy Swaggart had the problems with the prostitute, and he used to preach against sin, sexual sin the most. Or our boy Ted Haggard there in Colorado, he was leading a whole anti-gay movement when it came out that he was gay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. So, The one thing that I think that it does, especially in dealing with homosexuality within the Christian community, is it certainly does reveal self-righteousness, for sure, at minimum. It will reveal self-righteousness. Certainly may get to someone's heart because of issues they're dealing with. There just is not a glimmer of any of anything. I think there was one of the guys in the church. He has a wife that he and his wife, and I think a couple of kids that come to the church. And I know he had expressed some concern because he just wasn't sure, because I think just of his lack of of exposure around someone. Sometimes what you don't know, what you've never put a face to, you may have negative opinions about.
Right, it's called a fear of the unknown.
Yes, oh, absolutely, and I think that's what this was. And during the weeks that I've been going here, it's been really, really sweet to see his defenses change and certainly a good heart and was willing to give it a try instead of bolt, you know, or be recruited by the person who bolted.
Right.
And decided to stay around and give it a try, you know, and see, you know, it's like, and now I don't think that there is a, I think you'd probably have a difficult time equating a sexual orientation one way or the other to me, or, you know, as far as being able to relate to me as a teacher or as a fellow parishioner, I guess you'd say.
Oh, my God, I think I'm going to puke. Just kidding, John. Just kidding. The little humor here on a Wednesday night. No, but just some kidding aside, if I thought a year ago that I would have ever heard you call yourself a fellow parishioner again, oh, my God. This is Glenn Klein online with the very church-going Mike Williams on a Wednesday night, and we're taking your questions at gospelrevolution.com. But you know what? That just goes to show you, Michael, you never know.
No, you don't, and that's the thing, you know, is that a lot of times with all of our own issues, it's sometimes it's a little bit difficult to sit back and let somebody decide what they think about you.
this whole situation about how John handled the situation there at the Freedom Worship Center reminds me of the story that just happened to our friend Pep Washburn, who's getting ready to host you in Wisconsin. He goes and meets with the local church member, or the church pastor. This is a church that you've spoken in before, Michael, and that, you know, I was a minister out of that church.
Right.
And all Pep wants to do is borrow a classroom, for God's sakes. And the guy said, after having obviously done his research on the gospelrevolution.com webpage, et cetera, well, he said, Pep, of course I can't let you have this in the in our church. And Pep said, why? And the guy said, because you don't believe in hell. In which Pep responded, no, I believe in hell. I just believe what it actually means. Not some made-up, fabled, mythological place of burning and everlasting torment.
Yes. Yeah.
So then the pastor goes on to basically demand of Pep that he not talk to anybody in the church about the meetings.
Yeah, and not even tell them about the meetings. Yeah.
And which of course guarantees more people are going to come, of course. But
yes,
but Pep literally said to the guy, have you completely lost your mind? And this is the bottom line. I mean, this, what the religious mindset does, it literally leads to mental insanity and emotional incapacity.
It really does. Yeah, the ability just to even see that that just something that ought to be just a minor issue that we just it just turns into such an egregious infraction against our moral conscience, you know, instead of just, you know, it's just all you'd have to do is just say, well, yeah, no, or well, yes, but it has to turn into this major division as much as far as heaven would be from hell or hell from heaven, you know. Based on whoever's definition you want to take on it.
Exactly. I mean, I remember the pastor of this church said that the job of a pastor is to keep the water still, everything calm, so the sheep can drink.
Wow. Amazing. Well, I think sheep do other things, don't they?
Yeah, I guess they drink. They definitely poop.
Oh
my God!
Goodness.
I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any doubt that this gospel that we share is needed, all you need to do is listen to stories like that. And we're going to be doing a feature. We're getting the technology now with Patrick just getting this thing into high gear, where we're going to be taking the messages of these evangelical Christian leaders and just playing them back in context. And Michael, it is amazing what comes out of some of these guys' mouths. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a wonderful feature that we're going to be able to do. I think it's going to go into syndication and go around the world. So,
from your mouth to God's ears, my friend. All right, well, you're going to love this next CD. I mean, this next CD, this next letter comes from a woman named Belinda. She says, I'm going to present this in a spirit of love. God does accept us all and loves each and every one of us. He hopes we will all come to the knowledge of the truth. God loves us so much that he gives us several chances to redeem ourselves and return to him. This attitude of whether we do right or do wrong, God sees us the same, is simply not true. God does not hear us when we are sinful and choose to be unrepentant. God says, be ye holy as he is holy. That's from Belinda, Michael.
Wow. Well, Belinda, and the spirit of truth and love, I guess if you truly believe what you just said, and you believe in hell, I'm going to have to just say you're going to have to figure out a way to enjoy hell. because that's where you're going, sister. It's because by your own, by the standard which you have, number one, there's two things. Oh, my gosh. I mean, goodness, I guess if I could... I could be offended for the cross, I would be right now, or for God himself. That.
All right, well, but what about the comment? It does say in the Bible, be ye holy as I, or as he is holy.
Oh, absolutely. And, and of course, if you read it in context, it also, not only there, it says, be ye perfect. And in Matthew 5, and says, be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And see, here is where that, is it Belinda, is that who we're talking to?
Yes.
Belinda, this is where that the doctrine that you're in, hun, that has no consistency at all. Because while you're embracing the be holy, even as God is holy, which I believe that. I totally believe that, but see, you don't. Because you don't believe in the work of the cross. You do not believe the sacrifice of Jesus. You do not embrace that God has the ability to redeem. The comment of saying that God gives man several chances to redeem himself, well, he did, and man failed.
He gave him a few, probably a few million chances.
Just a chance after chance to redeem themselves, and that's where there's just what we're coming up with, Belinda, is just such a basic lack of understanding of the most glorious work of the cross of Jesus Christ, and that is that your moral conscience has been offended by a comment of saying that, you know, you can do what you want. Nobody's ever said anything about doing what you want. This gospel has nothing to do with whether you do what you want or don't do what you want. It has to do with the cross of Jesus Christ. And if man could have redeemed himself, then you've just totally made a mockery of the cross. And you've made it of no effect. And you've made the blood of the covenant wherewith you were sanctified an unholy thing. And you've made your righteousness the thing that is acceptable to God.
But it's only in her mind, and people who think like Belinda, that they become unholy. As far as God is concerned, everybody is as pure as the proverbial driven snow or as the blood of Jesus.
That's the thing I want to encourage Belinda about, because I know Belinda has to go through a lot of torment to believe this doctrine, because she knows she's not as holy as God is. Belinda knows she is not as holy as God is in works and performance and morals and thoughts, because then Belinda, hun, you have to accept Jesus' definition of the law, and that is, it's not if you commit murder. I mean, you may think that you're doing okay because you hadn't committed murder. But Jesus said, even if you get angry, then you're not okay. It's like if you're angry with me right now, you're on your way to hell, hon. And based on your doctrine.
Right, but also the fact is that, in my opinion, that is a very ignorant, which I used to share, by the way, interpretation of those scriptures that she mentioned and the concept of righteousness. But even if she thinks she's going to hell because she's mad with somebody, she's still not going because there ain't no hell.
Ain't going. Yeah, Belinda, we got good news for you, hon. You are 100% righteous. You are holy. You are perfect. Now, this is what you call in the spirit of love, really, because what we're telling you is that the only good news that will help you or anybody else on the face of the earth, and that is that your righteousness is as filthy rags, but God's righteousness dwells in you, hon. You have been given righteousness, the very same as first Adam. His works was imputed to the entire human race. And here is, you know, instead of just taking a verse out of context, let's take a concept that is all-encompassing from beginning of time until the end. And that is the creation and the first Adam to the last Adam. And Paul's very clear teaching that the first Adam, because of his transgression, God imputed, if you will, the condition of sin to the entire human race. Nobody had to. In fact, Paul said, even those that didn't sin after the same similitude of Adam's transgression were counted as sinners because of what one man did. Now, Belinda, hon, please stop and think. I know that you believe that everyone became a sinner because of one man's disobedience. How could you not believe that the last Adam was at least as strong as the first Adam? Because the last Adam, and Paul said very clear, and I don't care what translation you read this in. You can read it in any translation, and it says the same. And that is that because, by comparison, that what Jesus did as the last Adam far exceeds that by which the first Adam did, and that God has imputed the gift of righteousness to everyone.
I said everyone.
Yes, to everyone. And see, and here's where where people get hung up, because Belinda, see, hon, you were told that you have to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. But, hon, please go look through your Bible from stem to stern. You're not going to find it. The Bible says God made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior.
So it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference if somebody believes in Jesus or not.
Yeah.
Jesus is still Lord, even if they don't care to know him, even if they don't know it right now on this side of eternity. It doesn't change who Jesus is, and it doesn't change who the rest of humanity is, just because people don't understand him.
Absolutely, and it certainly doesn't change the work of the cross. And, you know, Belinda's lack of belief and lack of faith in the work of the cross does not take away the power of the cross from her eternal life. Now, let me tell you what it does take away from Belinda. It's called joy and peace and being able to embrace other people with true love and to be able to associate with people of other faiths and to not have to draw these hard lines in her heart and mind I remember being in that mindset. It's not like I don't have any condemnation for somebody being there. That's where I was. But I do know how fitfully painful it is. Because it is a rush from one side of the seesaw to the other. You either feel good because you think you're doing it right, or you're devastated because you think you did it wrong. And Belinda, somewhere called the firm foundation, there's a stable mental and emotional state of being and spirituality that never varies. Life can vary. Situations can vary. Your morality can vary. But the work of the cross and its impact on Belinda cannot vary.
Absolutely. This is Glenn Klein online with Michael Williams. You know, Michael, it is better, in my humble opinion, for somebody to never dabble in religion or the Bible or spirituality is more stable, and they have a better chance at having somewhat of a balanced life than people like you and me, and apparently Belinda, who go head first into the stuff and then have to spend much of the rest of their life getting healed from the crap that went on in the church.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, the, I don't know, you know, I just hear the undertones of spiritual abuse, you know, in Belinda's life. And you know, I'll guarantee you that there's spiritual abuse coming from if there are people close to her, you know, the condemnation and the judgment. And, you know, the amazing thing about it is that, you know, in Paul's teaching and in Jesus' teaching, they're really the impact of the work of the cross and the impact of Jesus in our lives should take away, there's two things that should absolutely be eradicated out of our lives. And number one is guilt. No guilt. There is, therefore, now no condemnation, no guilt at all in Christ. There isn't any. And the other one is judgment. And Paul said the very moment that you turn around and judge someone else, now if Belinda is only judging herself by this degree of righteousness of which she speaks, then at least she's being scriptural about it as far as the law is concerned. But if she's using that degree of righteousness to judge anyone else at all, according to the law, she has become a breaker of every law in the book by judging someone else's righteousness.
Right.
And so maybe, but, you know, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe Belinda was only talking about her morality when she was writing her letter. However, if she was talking about anyone else's morality, people doing things, if she had anybody else in mind, then according to Romans, then she has broken every law in the book by assessing judgment to someone else's life based on God's law. It's just, it really is, it's a sad place to be. But when it's the only place you find any hope, then of course you buy into it, you know, especially if you've been told.
Well, I don't think it's just hope, Michael. I think people are so starving for acceptance they will buy this kind of bull because at least for a while they feel like they're part of a club and part of a kind of a happening thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they feel some sense of security and acceptance. Oh, we're all starving for acceptance.
Absolutely. But boy, I tell you what, that acceptance goes out the window pretty quickly. I mean, Tammy Faye Baker's recent passing and her family's life story has certainly shed a little bit of light on that, about the loving kindness of the Christian community. And the only people who acted in loving kindness toward her was the gay community.
Right.
And that's according to, you know, Tammy's own words herself. And she spoke those words on TBN, being interviewed by Paul Crouch Jr. So yeah, it's, you know, it's...
Is Paul Crouch Jr. gay?
No, she was just telling him as the person interviewing.
Oh, I see. I thought.
Not that I would
want to cast any aspersions on Paul Crouch Jr. I don't know who Paul Crouch Jr. is.
Well, why would it be an aspersion to say that he's gay?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I wouldn't want to do. This is Glenn Klein online with Michael Williams. We've got a few minutes to get your questions and comments in. You can email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Get them in quick. Belinda, stay tuned, baby. It's going to be all right.
Yes, you are accepted in the beloved.
Indeed.
Belinda's in the beloved.
What did you say?
Belinda is in the beloved.
Say that fast 3 times real quick.
I can't. I'm sorry.
Just try it. Go ahead.
I'll let you do it.
Belinda in the beloved, Belinda in the beloved, Belinda in the beloved. There.
Oh, wow. It sounds like the blood in the middle of there.
And that's why she's in the beloved.
That's right, because of the blood.
This comes from our boy Bruce Gosey, Michael, in Beattyville, Kentucky. He says, Mike, you did a series a while back about the 7 basic principles of the gospel. I cannot locate the tapes and wonder if you could now give a brief synopsis of the teaching as well as a brief explanation on, quote, being responsible but not liable, which you touched on as well. It answers the questions many have with respect to what keeps those who embrace freedom from the law from running buck, buck wild.
Well, first off, I think he's referring to the seven pillars of wisdom, which that is still on the website.
Okay.
And then he was talking about the being responsible, not liable.
Right.
I think really, we've been addressing that just a little bit. But the thing of it is what we become responsible for. It's like what I've been telling you about John saying that as a pastor, he's there to pastor to protect people's freedom. The liability, number one, see, in the church, we are trying so hard to get people to be responsible human beings and just to be responsible. And the weird thing about it is if you talk to anybody in the business world, they will tell you the last person in the world they want to do business with is someone who is a Christian because there's such irresponsibility.
Oh, my God. When Dawn's a real estate agent, when she says she sees a little fish on the back of one of her clients' cars,
she
freaks. She knows there's hell to pay.
Well, when I see the sign of the fish on the back of a person's car, I say, there goes the fishy person.
But there is a difference between being a responsible adult and realizing that you're not liable for anything you do vis-a-vis your relationship with God. There's a huge cavernous difference.
Yes, and in fact, of course, people like, Ted Haggard, oh my God, the list just goes on, Jimmy Swaggart, what happened to Jim Baker years ago, and the list just goes on and on and on, that people's moral compass does not get stabilized by a fear of hell and punishment from God. Self-righteousness does not set your sense of responsibility in order. The only thing that sets your sense of responsibility to yourself and to your loved ones and to whatever social structure you fit in, the only thing that sets that is a lack of the dread of punishment from God. There's people who have much higher standards who do not believe in God at all than those who come from the ilk of Christianity that is just, waiting on judgment day. And that if they go do something, they can go confess it, and that's the other thing, that's the contradiction in the be ye holy thing, is that, oh, well, if you do sin, you can run back and confess, and then you're holy all over again. We don't leave that stopgap. We let you know there's good reason to believe that there's not even a necessity for that because of the strength of the power of the blood of Jesus and the cross. But when you are freed from threat of punishment, you become to know who and what you really are. And then you can become the very best of what and who you really are that you can possibly be.
Do you think we're seeing that, Michael, manifested in people's lives who've been exposed for the gospel for a while?
Oh, undoubtedly. I know in my own personal life, and whether or not my life would measure up to what somebody would expect, I don't know. But I know by comparing my life to what it was while I was preaching and teaching deliverance. That if you were a homosexual, you were going to hell. Whether I was doing anything or not, let me tell you something. I was totally obsessed. It was obsessive. I couldn't walk past a grocery store magazine rack without just being so drawn to just have to look at something and to get out in my car and drive someplace to where that I could see or whatever. you know, even before I ever once again participated in any homosexual contact with anybody. And but it was obsessive. And
out of control, totally.
I think out of control. And you know, and the thing of it is that the one thing I know that I have this as a gay man. I have self-control.
Well, wait a minute. You're telling me you can go to the grocery store now and I like just be drawn to the magazine section?
Sometimes I don't even know it's there anymore. you know, my big battle now is passing up the ice cream section. So, no, it's just, but no, it is amazing, you know. And I don't even know how to express that, Glenn. I don't think that.
Well, I think you expressed it very well, actually.
I just the value of that. I mean, how in God's name do I ever express to somebody the difference in my life personally, that I am in complete control of what I do,
relatively speaking?
Yes, I mean, I am, as far as my conduct is concerned concerning my sexuality.
Oh yeah,
I'm in complete control of myself.
But I was talking about in general things. I mean, you know, no, we still do not respond totally stable or totally perfect.
Oh no. Oh, absolutely not. No,
but,
it doesn't
regarding
mean it.
But regarding just who you are,
yes,
both emotionally and sexually, it's just. You're in chill mode at this point, pretty much, right?
It's amazing to me. It is utterly amazing. I have no obsessive, compulsive drive. It just isn't there. I mean, the ability to enjoy is as great as ever. But the
you still like peanut butter and pickle sandwiches. That's pretty compulsive.
I still
I'll say
love
that right
peanut
now.
Butter and pickle sandwiches.
And some people count that
as more perverse than anything else.
There is no way you can be righteous with God and eat pickles with peanut butter.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, dear brother, but I am.
That's it. That is grounds for excommunication, everybody. All right, so, Mike, you're going to Indiana.
Yes, I am.
We're going to have some new teachings that come out of that, undoubtedly.
Yep.
And I think this is a good opportunity to direct you folks who are in the Midwest at all. What's the fellow's name again, Michael? That's what you're going
Where,
to?
In, oh, Cliff Hazelbaker.
Cliff, that's right.
Yes.
Cliff said he's heard from people in four different states?
Yes, have made contact.
Well, if you're anywhere close to Indiana, ladies and gentlemen, which means a lot of you that are listening to the sound of our voices right now, get on the webpage at gospelrevolution.com and get over there and spend some time with Michael this weekend. Just go to gospelrevolution.com. All the information is right there. And we'd like to see some folks turn out, huh, Mikey?
Absolutely. Always enjoy seeing new faces.
Are you willing to answer questions in person?
Well, we do that, you know.
You know, at my former camp that I used to own, Camp Menominee, we had one of our former campers come this weekend, who's Mike Dunleavy Jr., who plays for the Indiana Pacers. So maybe Mike would like to come and hear Mike.
Oh, absolutely.
From Indiana. But I'll tell you, this guy, Michael, was so humble, and he answered the kids' questions just so graciously and patiently. And I think that's a huge difference between people who are not in a religious mindset and those who are, is that if you really care about people, you'll spend time answering questions. You'll spend time discussing. You'll go out to lunch with people and stuff.
Sure.
When you were back in the church, you couldn't get around the sheep because, you know, sheep do other things besides drink water, as you pointed out. And they did not want to get the so-called spiritual caca on their anointing. Is this true or not?
That was the facade, but the actual reasons for it is you can't let them too close because you can't keep up that spiritual facade all the time. They're going to find out you're a human.
You're a phony.
You know? Yeah,
that's what you're going to find out.
Human is phoniness.
Yep. Well, here's some more good news for you, ladies and gentlemen. I just got an email, Michael, from our buddy Mike Farmer, who has got some new stuff up on the Gospel Logic website as well. That was good to see.
Oh, Michael's back with Gospel Logic again. Good.
Did you see that?
I took a glance at it, and I did notice that.
Yeah, so that's good. Good to hear from you, Mike Farmer. And you guys can go to gospellogic.com. What? What'd you say, Michael?
I said it is good to hear from Mike Farmer.
I know. He's a good man.
He
Where does he live in Montana?
Yes, he does.
Amazing. I have a good friend that lives in Montana. It's amazing to me that anybody lives in Montana.
We have, we have a lot of people in Montana that are that have embraced the gospel, pastors and just all kinds of folks.
That's awesome. Well, go to the Gospel Logic website as well, folks, and you'll enjoy that. It's kind of a different take on what we do, but it's we're affiliated, and we encourage you to avail yourself of that definitely. But in the meantime, folks, this is a good opportunity to remind you that you can have Michael come and meet with you. And, I mean, Mike, this Indiana meeting, just a couple guys got it together, and away you go, right? It's not that hard to do.
Yes, there are a couple of them are bloggers, and more interest has been generated, and more people are coming, and that's what you do when you are in a grassroots movement and a gospel revolution, is you just share from your heart what it is you want to say and hand somebody a tape, a CD, give them an invite, whatever,
Send them to the website. People could spend weeks on that website, the gospelrevolution.com website.
Yeah, that's
weeks.
Very, very true.
So do you have any idea at all about what you're going to be sharing about in the Hoosier land?
No, I really don't. I don't have a clue. I do have a clue. Let's try to explain it right now. I probably would not be a wise thing to do.
Well, so. Not only that, but then the people wouldn't want to order the CD teaching series afterwards.
No, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Our friend Mike Matzey is going to be one of our guests when we get our other lineup from out in California.
That's awesome.
And he
stepped up to the plate big time in the last pledge drive, didn't he?
Yes, Mike really did. He had some funds coming his way, and he wanted to put a good chunk of that in the Gospel Revolution, and he did, and really made our pledge drive, helped to make our pledge drive successful, along with a lot of people who gave $25, it was really good. And then remember the little battle we got in between Jackie and, who was it, Ryan, down in Florida, and they kept bumping each other's contribution by $5 in increments.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's all of us. So we're very, very appreciative for sure.
All right. So have a great time, Michael. Well, we're gonna do this next Wednesday night. I'll be in Wisconsin, but hopefully we'll have our third line ready. But if not, we'll just do this. But very soon, folks. Even when I'm on the road and not in the home offices there at the Glenn Klein Online Studios in Tampa, Florida, we'll be able to take your calls again. And eventually we'll have video links, and we're just taking it one day at a time.
Yes.
That's I always like to sing that song, Michael, that old country gospel song?
One day at a time, sweet Jesus.
Yeah, but I'm Jewish, so I sing it, one day at a time, sweet Yeshua. I want to thank Patrick L. Jones, our producer and engineer, back in the home offices in Tampa, Florida.
Thank you,
and
Patrick.
I want to thank you for listening, you beautiful humans. Until next time, be safe, be cool. This is Glenn Klein Online. Shalom, everybody.